is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and the crisis in Puerto Rico continues.
The ports are closed. Of course, a lot of power outages, roads blocked by debris, water damage.
My cousin and I and our family still haven't been able to hear from all of our family over there, and we are concerned for them and for everyone on the island.
With power, other things are manageable. It's really one of our first priority, particularly in the hospitals, health clinics, and wastewater treatment plants.
Puerto Rico is hurting, and we need to be there and to let them know that the diaspora here in the United States, we are one with you.
And without power, then you potentially have issues with water.
We need to pay attention and to urgently support Puerto Rico and the Caribbean with donations and contributions.
You're listening to voices here on the mainland responding to the utter destruction left by Hurricane Maria. Some of those voices you might recognize, Jennifer Lopez and Rosie Perez, urging Americans on the mainland to remember their fellow Americans on the island. On Sunday night, Puerto Rico's governor, Ricardo Rosselló, pleaded for more federal support as large parts of his island struggle for the dire basics, food, water, and light. Meanwhile, San Juan's airport at one point began to resemble the chaos and the horror of the Louisiana Superdome after Katrina. The president tweeted about Puerto Rico last night, mostly focused on the island's broken infrastructure and massive debt. And today, the president announced he would visit Puerto Rico next Tuesday to survey the damage. Meanwhile, the National Guard, the Navy, and the Marine Corps have deployed aid to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands in recovery. And on Monday, Florida Senator Marco Rubio and representatives from FEMA and Homeland Security visited Puerto Rico to look at the damage. David Begno is a CBS News correspondent. He's been on the ground in San Juan.
The governor is telling us that military helicopters are now being used to distribute aid to some of the hardest hit areas. But here's what we actually saw beyond that statement from the governor. The governor got on a helicopter and he brought a satellite phone to the mayor in the town of San Sebastian. Satellite phones are becoming critical here on the island because the communication infrastructure is decimated. So the only way for senior officials in the government here to communicate with local mayors on the ground is with a satellite phone. Because when we ask the governor about various areas, he tells us, well, the last time I was there, they told me this. Well, the last time I was there, that's the only way they had to communicate. So the governor personally brought a cell phone to this mayor. Now, we have been asking the governor, will you take us and show us where the aid is being delivered? FEMA is tweeting photos of relief aid that's on the ground. But when the FEMA administrator spoke at a podium yesterday, he complimented the work of the governor complimented FEMA, and they both complimented the president. But the FEMA administrator took no questions. He left. Took no questions. So what we have said to the governor is, we want to see where the aid is being delivered. Will you show us? He said yes, and we plan to hold him to it.
David, tell me what you saw when you were in the airport in San Juan yesterday.
It was dire. There were probably more than 1,000 people standing in line, kids that had been stripped naked by their parents who were sleeping in strollers, sweating as their parents fanned them with cardboard. The people were desperate there. These were Americans who were trying to get off the island. Some of them are tourists, but others are people who've evacuated their home and are trying to leave. They're hoping to get out on any flight. They're willing to pay, by the way. They're not looking for a free ride out of town. They're willing to pay. Some people had been at the airport for more than 3 days, sitting on the ground. There were no cots. No snacks were being handed out. So I went to the governor and I said, we saw a dire situation at the airport. And he said, we're going to send supplies there. We're going to send at least water and some snacks. And he made good on his word. We were there when supplies arrived. Now, the situation got a little bit better as the day went on, but people were saying, I'm coming back, because the airport was telling people, go home, go to wherever you were, and then come back to the airport. So what we're seeing is, in the morning, it's the worst. You have the most amount of people trying to get on the flights with really no answers as to whether they're going to be able to get out. And then it dwindles throughout the day, settles down a little bit, and then ramps back up the next morning. The airlines are not able to get as many flights in as they want. Here's why. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, has told CBS News that there was a transmission tower that was destroyed in the hurricane. And that limited the radar that commercial pilots need in order to land commercial planes here. So the planes that are coming in It's only one or two a day, and they're bringing relief supplies. And when they leave, they're taking people out on those relief flights. That's the situation right now.
David, in terms of rescues, before we let you go, there have been many, many reports, but one report in particular of a high-rise building, I think in San Juan, 14 or 15 stories high, filled with elderly people, many without food or water. When rescue workers had discovered them, many had not eaten for days. Many were bewildered. What do you know about that building and what's happened to the people who live there?
I know nothing about that report, but let me say this. Confirming individual reports like that are extremely tough. Most of the time, the only way we can confirm information like that is if we get the governor in person and we ask him directly. Getting in touch with his staff is difficult, not because they're giving us the runaround, but because making a phone call around here or checking an email is exceptionally hard. I'll tell you this about rescues. The governor says they are still going on 6 days after the hurricane in areas where some rescuers have not even been able to reach. Let me clarify. They've been able to reach it and see that people need help, but they haven't been able to get the rescuers in there to pull them out.
And next steps for FEMA?
Next steps for FEMA, we'd love to know. The administrator stood at the podium for less than 5 minutes and said they have a difficult challenge ahead, but they are up to it. We just want to know specifics. Where is the aid going? Will you allow us to show the American people it actually being delivered in a distribution line? I've got people messaging me, probably 30 people a minute, saying my family needs help, my family needs water, my family needs to eat. We are just asking FEMA to show us the work that they're doing. It's not that we don't believe what they're saying, but show us.
David Begno, CBS News. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Meanwhile, the island's already fragile economy is going to experience even more strain. Puerto Rico is suffocated under at least $70 billion in debt, and the economy's been in a recession since 2006. Justin Velez-Hagan is founder and executive director of the National Puerto Rican Chamber of Commerce, and he joins me now. Justin, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Take a moment, if you would, and describe the economy of Puerto Rico. It's a place with 40% poverty, which is extremely high. What does Maria mean to those figures?
Unfortunately, Puerto Rico's economy has already been pretty poor. They've been in a recession for at least a decade. And of course, that puts it in the category of a depression at that point. Unemployment is very high. The poverty rate, like you just mentioned, is double that of the poorest state in the country. So any kind of economic damage or anything that could potentially hurt the economy of Puerto Rico is just devastating to the outlook as of right now. Puerto Rico has been trying very hard. Obviously, they're deeply indebted territory. They've been trying very hard to overcome that, make some amends and turn the corner of their economy. But this sort of disaster obviously doesn't help things.
Tourism is, of course, extremely important to the island. But I saw one figure that said that 80% of the economy in Puerto Rico is small businesses.
Absolutely. You're right. And some of that's tied to tourism, of course. Small businesses doing anything from renting jet skis or selling to the tourists that come in. But that's right.
What does that economy look like to you when you look around and see the pictures and the recovery that's in store for the island in terms of people's ability to work?
It just looks like small businesses are wiped out to me. I've got faith that people are going to survive and persevere, but right now, they don't have cash. There's no way to get money. There's no way to transfer funds. You can't go to an ATM as of now if you don't have power, of course. And if you have a small business that accepts credit cards or debit cards, that isn't operable at the time. So without access to cash, how can businesses even operate? So right now, businesses are kind of standing by, hoping the power comes back on. And this is anywhere from the smallest of small businesses, small vendors on the street, to small restaurants, to businesses like Walgreens. I've got a friend, actually, who is telling me about his experience going to Walgreens. He wanted to buy some water or some kind of goods, and he just couldn't make the transaction because he didn't have cash. So you kind of have just an incredible, indeterminate amount of economic stall because of the lack of power and every other thing tied to the disaster here.
Puerto Rico is already a place where people leave. There are millions more Puerto Ricans on the mainland than the 3.5 million who live on the island already. We've had experts and leaders in Puerto Rico warn what happens if there's a massive flight of Puerto Rican American citizens to the mainland now. Do you expect that to happen? And what would happen?
I think there's a lot of people that have been withholding moving away from the island because they kind of have, again, a little glimmer of hope, hoping that the economy will turn the corner. But certainly something like this probably is, I would say, the straw that broke the camel's back to a lot of people. So if you have a population that's shrinking by 2-3% every year, I would imagine that at least this year in the short term, that's going to increase. And the people that are leaving, even if they are considering their exodus as a temporary one, maybe going to live with family for a few months or something, you know, once you come to the mainland, you find another opportunity, the chances of coming back are probably slimmer than you might anticipate. And the other issue with the people that are leaving is the people that are leaving are the ones that have money to leave, that have economic opportunities somewhere else. They might be young professionals or business people or doctors, and unfortunately, they're the ones that produce in the economy the most and have the most to contribute, and they're kind of leaving in droves already. And so you add this crisis to it, and it's really not going to help things at all, that's for sure.
Well, what does that do to the economy they leave behind on the island?
I think that you can kind of wipe out the potential for economic growth this year, potentially stall the potential for the next couple of years, or at least put off the turnaround in the near future. I think 2-3 years at least is kind of what is my best case scenario, I guess, about how the economy may be affected. You figure if Puerto Rico is already shrinking, they already have a poor economy that's shrinking, anything, even a 1% hit to the GDP is going to be substantial, put them into an even deeper recession. Now you're looking at something that's probably going to hit them much harder than that. It could be 5% hit to GDP or something, maybe even greater this year. So we'll see. It could be pretty disastrous.
And as we step back from that situation and some of those dire numbers that you're talking about, Justin Velez-Hagan, Puerto Rico is already in a debt crisis of about $70 billion. Congress has been hard at work debating, arguing, trying to restructure that debt. With this devastation threatening the future ability of Puerto Rico to make money, what's the outlook?
I think that all negotiators, first of all, are going to come back to the drawing table. I know there's, and to take a step back, they've had a long negotiation process. Puerto Rico has a fiscal oversight board that has been trying to implement certain austerity measures to get Puerto Rico back on track and be able to pay back its debt. Right now, all of the suppositions that were relied on to make those decisions and to make any assessment about Puerto Rico's future economy are basically out the window. So they have to start over and reassess what the potential is for Puerto Rico to make any payments back to its creditors. And that's very unfortunate for their future economy and future potential growth, because they can't borrow money. They won't be able to invest in infrastructure. It doesn't look good on kind of all sides.
Yeah. Well, there are opportunities everywhere, Justin Velez-Hagan, and you're the leader of the National Puerto Rican Chamber of Commerce. What's the best investment opportunity in Puerto Rico right now?
It's tough to say. There's a lot of damage, and I hate to be so flippant about the investment possibilities in real estate, but obviously the real estate market has been very, very good for investment, looked very, very positive. And there's always going to be a strong tourism industry because it's a beautiful place to visit, but they have significant tax advantages and incentives for any businesses of any size, especially exporters. So probably have a lot of investment from the federal government, so things will return back to normalcy soon enough. So I think it'll still be a good investment in the long term.
Justin Velez-Hagan, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Justin Velez-Hagan is founder and executive director of the National Puerto Rican Chamber of Commerce.
The Takeaway is supported by Indeed.com, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings, review candidates, take notes, and schedule interviews from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com. And Staples, offering print and marketing solutions for businesses, including color copies and presentations, booklets and manuals, signage, and more. More details at Staples stores or staples.com/copy and print. Staples, it's pro time.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.